the Bay Area's favorite quiz show, Minds Over Matter, is here with Dana Rodriguez, accompanied by educator Lori Fisher. Now, here's your moderator, Mr. Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Damian, and welcome everybody to the Saturday morning edition of Minds Over Matter. Hope you are having a lovely morning, and we do hope you can spend that next hour with us, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So what we're looking for is your participation. That's very, very important. We'd love to hear from you. We really do. And we hope you will call quite soon into the show, because that would be the best time. The two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. Or toll-free, we do have a toll-free number, 866-798-8255. Again, that is 866-798-8255. As I said before, it is great when you call early, because we want to talk to you, and we don't want to miss your call at the end of the show when we have to cut anybody off. But, okay, 415-841-4134. Or toll-free, 866-798-8255. Of course, you can email us as well. For those too shy or busy to call, you can email us, and that is fine. And that email address is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. So that is MINDSOVERMATTER1. That's the numeral one, mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. Of course, you can hear us in live stream at kalw.org. And if you want to listen to the podcast, and of course, who doesn't? That should be available after the show in a reasonable amount of time at kalw.org and many, many other places. But start with KLW. I'm sure that would be appreciated. Okay, the numbers, as I repeated endlessly to you, I'll give them to you once more. 415-841-4134. Or toll-free, 866-798-8255. We're going to start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions. It's just the two of us. It's just Lori and myself today. Kara is doing her, working on her sleep research project, possibly. I don't know. So we have a little more time for questions and a little more time for calls. So keep that in mind, please. All right. So introduction-wise, with one-third of our panel gone today, as I before mentioned, Lori Fisher knows that he and Dana will both have to step up their games and each do 17% more work. As long as there is no more math, he thinks we are in good shape.
I do. And as a result of that, our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, thinks that working 17% harder for the same no money is outrageous. What is this now, some Stalinist collective?
I know.
Indeed, yeah.
Comrade.
Yes.
All right. All that being said, we will start the questioning with Lori Fisher.
All right. Well, in the aftermath of last week's Emmys, I have a couple of questions there. And the first one, I'm looking for the all-time most nominations in a couple categories. So this is not for this year, but this is all-time. I'm looking for, and this is for network TV shows. So this is not HBO and Hulu. These are all on the major networks. There's five different categories or five different answers I want. One is, which show has the all-time most nominations ever? Which two scripted drama series on network TV have the most nominations? And which two comedies? So a total of five, and Dana, I'll give you, say, two or three. Which is the all-time most nominated show? Which is the all-time, two all-time scripted drama shows? And the all-time two most nominations for comedy? I'll give you at it.
So, all right, when you say the all-time most nominated show, that's spread over years, correct?
Correct. In every case, it's over years.
And the comedies, so they're comedy shows, not comics, not comedians.
Correct. These are scripted comedy shows. I'm looking for the top two. And scripted dramas, I'm looking for the top two. And then I'm
looking. How about Cheers is one?
Cheers is not one. Okay. I think it's about fifth on the list.
And then and So they're scripted shows, not variety shows. So,
well, the all time, I didn't give a category. It could be variety, it could be scripted. I was purposely vague on its category, except to say it's all time.
Oh, okay.
There might even have been a hint in there.
Hmm.
So more than all time drama and comedy.
All right, I have to think about this. Why don't you give another question in the meantime?
Okay. In the meantime, let me see. This is in the same category here. Only one person has played the same character on three different shows, and that character has been nominated on all three shows for an Emmy. So who is the actor or the character and or the shows?
Well,
so same character in three different shows.
Well, I mean, Kelsey Grammer has played Fraser Crane on.
Yes.
Actually, I think it's four shows. I think it may be.
Tell me three of them, and I'll tell you if there's a fourth.
Well,
he was nominated for which ones?
Of course, Cheers and Fraser.
Yes.
I think he was on Wings too.
Yeah. Those are the three that I have. Yeah, if there's a fourth, somebody will call me.
I'm trying to think if there might have been. Anyway, okay.
Okay. You want one more?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. This is, I didn't get that. I wasn't on to ask my final Olympic question. Excuse me one second.
All right.
My final Olympic question is, who is the oldest person to ever have competed in the Olympics, and what was their event? It was in 1920. Oh, and if you want to throw in their age as well. So who was the oldest person ever to compete in the Olympics? How old were they, and what was the event?
The oldest person. That was in 1920.
Yeah.
Could this be considered a non-athletic event?
Oh, that's such a good question.
I remember reading, now I don't know if it extended up to 1920, but there was a painting event in the Olympics at one point.
This is not a painting event.
All right.
This is more athletic than that. I think some people would dispute whether it's a sport or not, but it's still in the Olympics.
And does it involve a ball?
It does not.
All right. And it's still in the Olympics?
At least a version of it is still in the Olympics. I don't know if the exact thing this person did, but it's definitely still in the Olympics. It was in this year.
Huh.
Yeah. So we're looking for the oldest person in the Olympics and the most Emmy nominations all time, and for drama and comedy.
Okay.
We'll leave it out.
All right. Leave it out.
Great.
And actually, why don't you repeat that first question once more, if you would.
The first question was, in the history of the Emmy nominations, which show has had the all-time most nominations? I don't know if it's a help, but it's 305, amazingly enough. And then in addition to that, I want the top two, who has the most nominations for scripted dramas and for scripted comedy shows, and they're all network shows. So all NBC, ABC, CBS.
Well, Chris sent me an email, is wondering whether MASH is one of the shows.
It's not. MASH is in the top 10 of the comedies, but not in the top two.
Okay.
Great. It's a great guess. It's that kind of quality show.
All right. Well, I'm going to do a couple of questions now.
Okay.
All right. What is the most reproduced portrait of all time?
Mm. Well, so this is a portrait of one human being?
Yeah.
Kind of that. Well, then I would say the Mona Lisa would be my first guess.
It is not the Mona Lisa.
Not the Mona Lisa. And it's a portrait, not a sculpture. So it's not the statue of David.
Right. It is a portrait.
Is it Van Gogh's self-portrait?
No. Okay. What is the most reproduced portrait of all time?
And last kind of hint, is it just of a single person's head as a
person? It is.
Okay.
It is. Yes.
Then the last one, I'll guess, is The Girl with the Golden Earring. I'm not sure if that's the title.
It is not that.
Okay.
So once more, what is in the history of the world, what is the most reproduced portrait of all time?
And this is on T-shirts, coffee cups, you know, logos, that kind of thing.
I'm sure it's spread around pretty.
Okay. Yeah. That's a lot. All right.
And let's see, I'm going to give you a list of film remakes. I've done this a couple of times over the last month or two. And I'm going to ask you to name the film. I'm going to give you the actor in the original and the actor in the remake, or at least one of the remakes. Most of the time, it will be the same name of the film. Occasionally, it is a different name. But for all of these, it's the same name. So it's the same name for the original, the same name for the remake, in terms of the name of the film.
So, and the actors play the same exact role?
And the actors play the same exact role, yes.
Great. Okay.
So, number one, these are all film remakes. Keep it in mind. So I'm looking for the name of the films. Number one, Charles Grodin and Robert Armstrong. Or Robert Armstrong and Charles Grodin, to be clear. Number two, Ronald Colman and Peter Finch. Number three, James Stewart and Christopher Reeve. Number four, Edna Best and Doris Day. And number five, Alec Guinness and Tom Hanks.
Whoa.
So again, these are film remakes. All I want is the name of the film, which did not change from the original to the remake. All these actors play the same role in the original and the remake. But all I need is the name of the film. Number one, Robert Armstrong and Charles Grodin. Number two, Ronald Colman and Peter Finch. Number three, James Stewart and Christopher Reeve. Number four, Edna Best and Doris Day. Number five, Alec Guinness and Tom Hanks. I'll give you one guess there.
The one that popped into mind, and I don't know if it's right, although I think Charles Grodin was in it, was Robert Armstrong in the original Heaven Can Wait?
He was not.
Oh. All right. Then I'm drawing a blank. Let me not have dead air time. I'm going to look over the list while I give.
All right, that's fine. Question.
Yeah.
And I'll give you one more short question here. What is the lower 48 states, keep it in mind, what is the only state capital never to have had a temperature over 100 degrees? Of all the lower 48 states, what is the only state capital in the lower 48 never to have had a temperature over 100 degrees?
All right.
Okay, well, so.
Let me take a wild guess at the state capital. How about Helena?
Helena, Montana.
Yeah.
Nope. That's nope. So, number one, what is the most reproduced portrait in the history of the world? Number two, I gave you a list of film remakes. Tell me the name of the film. I gave you the lead actor and actor in the remake. Robert Armstrong, Charles Grodin, Ronald Colman and Peter Finch, James Stewart and Christopher Reeve, Edna Best and Doris Day, Alec Guinness and Tom Hanks. And then what is the number three is what is the only U.S. state capital of the lower 48 to never have had a 100-degree temperature?
Let me take one more guess, if you could, on the remakes. How about the Alec Guinness, Tom Hanks? Was there a remake of The Lady Killers?
That was it, The Lady Killers.
All right. Whew. All right. Thank you. Audience got the rest.
All right. So we have some emails here. Peter is wondering if the most reproduced portrait is Gilbert Stuart's portrait of Washington on the dollar bill. No, it is not that.
Oh, great guess.
It is a good guess. And most Emmy nominations, how about Saturday Night Live, says Kelly.
Kelly is completely right. Saturday Night Live was nominated 305 times and won 87 awards. Way to go. All right. Good work.
Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, good morning. All right. So let's see. In October 17th is going to represent, this is in a month from now, one of the big events that shook the whole Bay Area. What was it?
Well, the earthquake, right?
Yeah, it is the earthquake, isn't it?
Of course, the earthquake. All right. So that earthquake was in San Andreas Fault in Loma Prieta area, which is about 100 plus miles from us here, but was fairly good shaker. All right. So that will bring in what is the, when and what and where was the deadliest earthquake in human history?
Is it in China?
China, yeah.
Yeah, there was one in China that killed about 500,000 people, but that one killed over 1.1 million people.
Ooh.
Yep. It was horrible. I'll give you the year. It was 1201 AD. We should get ready. We should, because that's kind of in here.
So it was not in China?
Well, China was very big. It was over 500,000, almost half million, but that one did 1.1 million people.
Right, but I'm saying the earthquake was not in China, or it was in China?
No. Okay. Not in China, no. It was actually a country dear to my heart. Which one?
Oh, Egypt.
Just like it was. Say it again?
Yeah. Egypt?
Egypt it is, yes. Would you believe that? And the reason there was such high death is because you use masonry, you know, homes like we have today, or the rest of Europe or the other countries were using still more primitive housing. They actually used stone housing. So 1.1 people were killed in that, you know. And Egypt at the time also has far more population than most other countries in the world. 1.1 million. So we should really get ready. All right, in the Bay Area, what is called, when it comes to earthquake, the sleeping giant?
That's the Hayward Fault.
The Hayward Fault is much, much, much more dangerous to Bay Area people than San Andreas, because right under very high, very heavy population. It begins in just north of San Jose. It ends all the way in Marin County. It changes its name to another fault, Roger Creek Fault, but it both are very dangerous. If the Hayward goes even 7, you're probably looking about hundreds of thousands of, very quick. What two science named after Egypt? One, of course, Egyptology. What is the second one?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that question.
What main science subjects, science, you know, that named after ancient Egypt? One is Egyptology. What is the second one?
Well, no. Archaeology?
I don't know either.
Chemistry.
Oh, come in.
We should know that.
It really is a beautiful subject, but again, it was earthquakes. Very small, tiny question. What three customs did our beautiful Jewish cousin inherit from ancient Egypt? Three very main customs. One was monotheism, because it was not Moses that initiated one, it was the Pharaoh Akhenaten. What is the second two? One is very important to Jewish male. Jewish and Muslim.
Circumcision?
Male. Yes, yes, yes. So ancient Egyptians practiced that for thousands of years before Judaism. Okay, second one? Very common. It has something to do with diet.
Not eating pork?
Yes, yes. Well, yeah, beautiful show. All those habits talk to you, and everybody get ready, because we are definitely going to have a massive earthquake within the next 30 years. It could happen today, it could happen 30 years from now. So Google search Bay Area earthquake, and you'll get a lot of information about that. Thank you again. Have a very good weekend.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. We could use a couple more calls like today, and we have some room on the board. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, area code 415-841-4134. Or toll-free, 866-798-8255. Again, that is 866-798-8255. So we have a couple of answers via email here. And Eddie is wondering if the Grodin and Armstrong that I mentioned in film remakes is King Kong. And yes, that, of course, that is King Kong.
Oh, of course. Way to go, Eddie.
Grodin was the, Charles Grodin played the Robert Armstrong role in the ill-fated, I think it was 1976 remake of King Kong with Jessica Lange. And when I had the guy in a rubber ape suit, I believe. And let's see, the, yes, Danny had that as well. And wondered if the Edna Best Doris Day question was the man who knew too much. And that is the man who knew too
much. Oh, good work.
So very good. As a bell for you both. Thank you. Okay, good. And again, we have a couple of lines open. If you want to give us a quick call, that is area code 415-841-4134. Or toll-free, 866-798-8255. Just to remind you, you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10. Our panel today is just the two of us, so we can take more calls. And that's Lori Fisher, teacher at Diablo Valley College. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. Lori, why don't you go ahead and do another question?
Okay. This is, I'm glad that we got the answer Saturday Night Live for the most all-time nominations. This is a question related to that. It's about to start its 50th season, okay? And they've already announced some of the guest hosts. This is a question about the people who have hosted. There are five people, all men, who have hosted 10 or more times. Who are they? And then I wanted, there are three women who have hosted six times. That's the most women have done. So there's eight total answers. Five men and three women who have hosted Saturday Night Live the most times. Dana, I'll give you two or three of them.
Well, the men aren't too hard, I guess.
Steve Martin is second on the list. Give yourself a bell. 16 times.
And Alec Baldwin.
Alec Baldwin is first. 17 times. I'll give you one more.
10. So they had to host it 10 times? Is that what you're saying?
10 times. There's five, three more who've hosted 10 times.
Is John Goodman there yet?
Yes, John Goodman is next. You got the top three. 13 times. How about, I'll give you one more, but it has to be a woman. There's three women who have hosted six times. Who are they?
Three women have hosted six times.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Candace Bergen?
Candace Bergen's only a five-timer.
And Jennifer Lopez?
Jennifer Lopez is not even a five-timer yet.
All right. Okay. All right. I think about it then.
Okay. So we're looking for two more men who have hosted 10 times, and we're looking for three women who have hosted six times. This is Saturday Night Live in honor of its upcoming 50th season.
Is the, any of the women, trying to think, is Kristen Wiig maybe one?
Kristen Wiig's only a five-timer. Okay. But either Elaine or Damien got Tina Fey.
Oh, all right. There you go.
Tina Fey is a six-timer. Very good. So two more women and two more men. Way to go. Way to go.
All right. So,
all right.
Dan, what else left out here of that question? Repeat that question, if you would.
The question, I'm looking for two hosts of Saturday Night Live. I'm looking for two men who have hosted 10 times and two more women who have hosted six times.
Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on mic.
Good morning, gang. It's Danny and Sandra in Albany.
Hi.
Hey. Hi. Hey there. I hope we're not disturbing Kira's sleep.
Yeah, might be.
All right. So Sandra, I think, had a couple of Saturday Night Live women.
Well, I'm going to guess one. I'm not at all sure, but I'm wondering if it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
No. Julia Louis-Dreyfus is not a six-timer.
Really? And I, my other guess, the only thing that came to mind was Amy Poehler, but I don't think that's it.
No, Amy Poehler is not, I don't think she's even done five times yet.
Okay, I'm thinking guess about it, though. So, Danny?
Yeah, so let's see here. Yeah, I've got a quick question here, Eve's adjacent. Let's see. The hunk of real estate upon which Troy was built has been known by four different names through history, starting with Troy, and then the Hittites called it Wolusa, and then Ilios, and then it wasn't, there was nobody there for a while, and then they built another town on it called Hissarlik. So there were four different names for what was there. However, there are two cities that have been continuously occupied that have been renamed three times after their original name. What are they?
So we're looking for two cities, different cities that have had three different names over time, right?
They have had four different names over time. They were renamed three times after their original name.
Are they related to Troy, or was that just the lead-in info?
No, that was the lead-in info. I was hoping Troy would be the third one. You know, I like threes, but no, it didn't quite fit the brief. But these do.
So, you said they were related to Troy? I mean,
No. And I would say one is ancient and one isn't. Ancient. It's just old.
None are American, correct?
No.
Yes, not close. Dana, this should be your wheelhouse.
I don't know. Has Jerusalem ever had three different names?
No. Either three or four. They are both technically in Europe. I'll give you that.
Are they major cities?
Oh, yes.
So Dana, what about cities in Russia or the Soviet Union that have been conquered and reconquered?
Well, I mean, with St. Petersburg, Petrograd, and Leningrad.
Yes, and then they renamed it St. Petersburg again. That's one of them.
All right.
Ding.
All right. Teamwork on that one, sort of. Pick.
And then it would help if you told us maybe another a country where the other one is.
The other one is in the southern part of Europe. And it's sort of straddling Europe and not Europe.
How about something in Turkey?
Oh, you're thinking Istanbul,
yes.
Constantinople, and Byzantium?
Byzantium, Constantinople, and then after Constantinople, it was briefly called Stambul, S-T-A-M as in meatball, B-O-U-L, and then Istanbul. It changed it again. So those are the two.
All right.
Good work.
Good.
All right. That's all we got today. Good work, boys.
We're still thinking, but, you know, if we come up with other answers, we'll just call back.
Call back.
All right.
Call
back. Please.
We need callers.
Okay. See you later.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Feel free to give us a call. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Let me go back to email for one second here because we had some emails. And Mark and Tina are wondering if the most reproduced portrait is Queen Elizabeth II. That's quite a reasonable guess. No, that is not it. And
I have a question about the reproduction. Does being on currency, do you think that should count, or is that not in how they figure it? Because the person gets
it all has to be is taken from a portrait, so it could be reproduced in any on anything at all. So yeah, currency is a bit of
currency. All right.
And Cynthia is wondering if Cynthia is wondering if the SNL host, she wrote down Buck Rogers, but I don't think she meant Buck Rogers. I bet she meant Buck Henry. So is Buck Henry one of them?
If she met Buck Henry, which I think she did because Buck Rogers never did it, Buck Henry is a 10-time host.
All right, there we go. Cynthia, give credit for that.
That's really good. Buck Henry. I think he's the only one who's sort of not a performer. I think the only time we saw him perform was a couple movies, and he's mostly a writer. Okay, I'm looking for one more man.
And Chris is wondering if the U.S. Capitol that has never reached 100 degrees is Bismarck, North Dakota. No, Bismarck has miserable weather. It's extremely hot in the summertime and very cold in the wintertime. So that's why they call the Dakotas the Badlands, I think, basically. But no, it's not Bismarck. But thank you for that guess. Okay, I'm going to give you a question here. This is a movie question. What I would like are the five real Western figures, people, five real Western heroes, anti-heroes, etc., that have been most often portrayed in American feature films. So who are the five Western figures, heroes or anti-heroes, most often portrayed in Western films? I'll give you one guess.
So you don't mean Western culture. You mean cowboys and...
No, cowboys and Indians films. Yeah. Yes.
All right. The first, the most often portrayed. So the first one that came to mind was Judge Roy Bean. He one of them?
Oh, that's interesting. No, he's not one of them.
All right, then let me take one more guess. How about, just trying to think who would be a good guess here. I'm going to hold off a second. Let me run through my sheriffs and which ones are fiction or not. So we're looking for real life people, right?
That's right. So who are the top five real life Western figures most often portrayed in American feature films that take place in the West?
Let me go with Jesse James then.
Jesse James is one. Yes, right. Jesse James is
my second guess counts then.
In 38
times.
Yes, 38 times.
How does he rank in the five?
He's kind of in the middle, actually.
All right.
All right. So we are about halfway through the show. So let's quickly repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. Lori, we'll start with you.
Good. Not almost go. I'm looking for the two scripted dramas and the two scripted comedies that were on network TV and have amassed the most Emmy nominations in history. And then I'm looking for Saturday Night Live hosts. We're looking for one man left who has hosted 10 times and two women who have hosted 6 times each. And I think that's all I have.
Okay. So my question is, what is the most reproduced portrait in the history of the world? The most reproduced portrait in the history of the world. I'm looking for the five real Western figures most often portrayed in American feature films. When I say Western figures, I mean they're in Westerns, Western films. And so far we just have, what was the one you said, Jesse?
I said Jesse James.
Jesse James, okay, I have to mark that up.
And incorrectly said Judge Roy Bean.
Four, yes.
Yeah.
And what is the only U.S. state capital to have never had a 100-degree temperature in the lower 48? So you can't, not counting Hawaii and Alaska. It's the only state capital never to have had a 100-degree temperature. And I have a few left on the film remake, so I give you the star of the original and the star of the remake, and you tell me what the name of the film is. The ones we have left are Ronald Colman and Peter Finch, and James Stewart and Christopher Reeve. So what are those films? Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, this is Art Colas in San Francisco.
Hi, Art.
I called in many years ago and got Mind the Gap as the most commonly used three-word phrase. But I had a couple of guesses. On the most reproduced portrait, is that of Shakespeare in the first portfolio?
That is an excellent guess, and it's been reproduced endlessly, but it is not. It is not the most.
Okay. Is Emma Stone one of the female hosts from SNL?
She's a five-timer, but not a six-timer, so no bell, sorry.
Okay, and surely Wyatt Earp must be one of the Western figures in movies.
Wyatt Earp is number five on that list. I've been prominently featured in 26 films. Very good.
Okay.
Good job.
Great show as always. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Appreciate your call.
Bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on, Mike.
Hello?
Are you there? Hello?
Is it me?
Yeah, it is. Go ahead, please.
Oh, hi. It's Stefan from Noe Valley. I couldn't tell that I was on the air. I was going to guess Wyatt Earp, but how about Doc Holliday?
Not Doc Holliday. Ooh. Yeah, you would think Doc Holliday would go along with Wyatt Earp, but no.
It would.
Right. About the capitals that I've never... have a temperature above 100 degrees. Would Seattle be one of them?
Seattle is not one.
Okay. Your guess or your question about portrait in the world, I'm wondering why you're saying it like that. Was it a religious figure, possibly?
No, it is not a religious
okay.
figure.
So it's not like Mary or Jesus, okay. Yeah. So I have a list of characters, classic Warner Brothers cartoon characters.
Ooh.
And I'm going to list them. I have more than six, but I'll just keep it easy and just list six of them. I'm going to list them in kind of an odd order because I want you to rank them later. So I'll go with Yosemite Sam, Sylvester the Cat, Elmer Fudd, Porky Pig, Daffy Duck, and Bugs Bunny. So can you rank them in the most, appearing in the most number of cartoons on down?
Just give me the list once more, just to make sure I have everything.
Yeah. So Yosemite Sam.
Right.
Sylvester the Cat. Mm-hmm. Elmer Fudd. Porky Pig. Daffy Duck. Bugs Bunny.
Well, okay. I'll go with Bugs Bunny first. Will you, Dana?
I would say Porky Pig's a little bit older than Bugs Bunny, but of course Bugs was probably the more popular. So
I'll guess Bugs and see what is Bugs the top of the list.
Oh, you're looking for us to put him in the row, aren't you? Kind of.
In
order.
Most right. least. Yeah.
Laurie. You go first if you want.
Well, I was just going to start at the top. You want us to put all six? That'll take a lot of time. So can we just start? Is Bugs the one that appeared the earliest, or the most? I mean.
The most, yes, you're correct. Bugs Bunny is the most, 167.
Okay.
All right, then I'll put Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck, Porky Pig, Elmer Fudd would appear with these different, with Daffy Duck and Bugs Bunny. So I guess Elmer Fudd. And then Sylvester the Cat, maybe he came a little bit later. And then Yosemite Sam was usually a foil for Bugs Bunny, so he's probably the last.
That's pretty close. So the list I have here says Bugs Bunny first, followed by Porky Pig and Daffy Duck, and then Sylvester and Elmer and Yosemite Sam in that order.
Okay.
That's close. Way to go, David.
Yeah, not too bad. Porky Pig is older, but I guess there were many more Bugs Bunnies to kind of eclipse them.
Yeah.
Bugs had a better agent.
Three of these appeared, the top three appeared as primary characters. In other words, there was no other character on the list that was with them, but they appeared just solo in their cartoon. Bugs Bunny, Porky Pig, Daffy Duck, all the rest had another character with them. And so I'm wondering if you can estimate like the percent of which of them appeared as a primary character. Like, was it, you know, a quarter of them, of all their cartoons that they were in, was it like a quarter of them where they were primary, or was it more than a quarter? Like, was it, you know, three quarters? I was just wondering like if you can guess roughly.
Well, when you say a primary, we have to argue about semantics. When you say a primary character, you mean
the only character.
Because, you know, Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck would always have to have a foil. You know, they would have to have something to play off of, a character of some kind. So, and Porky Pig was usually the, again, would have to play off of something. And Sylvester had Tweety Pompey. So.
But there were a number of cartoons where they only appeared by themselves, and they had just their own. They were the star, and there was no other character on this list that was with them.
Well, then I would say Bugs Bunny would probably be number one, and
he wants a percentage. So I'll guess 20%.
Yeah, maybe even higher than that. Maybe 35.
Would you say over half or under half?
I would say under half for
me.
For
me too.
Just because they work, they generally work with some kind of foil. And then Daffy Duck, you had to have somebody to make him mad, which usually would be at some point. And Porky Pig was usually in league with somebody. So
yeah
I guess Bugs Bunny would be first, and maybe a 30%, and then Daffy Duck maybe a 20%, and then Porky Pig.
Parse these numbers.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I love your reason. I do love your reasoning. My source says actually higher for the first two, 60%, and 40 for Daffy. So 60% were Bugs Bunny or Porky Pig were the primary or the sole character or the primary character. Daffy Duck, where he's the only one as well, essentially.
Wild.
That's it.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Thanks. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10. If you'd like to give us a call, feel free to do that. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Lori, if you want to give us a quick question, go ahead.
Well, I want to mention one question I didn't mention before that I asked was, who is the oldest person ever to compete in the Olympics? So that one is still.
Right.
Yeah. I have a short question. Are we looking short? No, actually, I'll ask one with a little less. I think this one's up your alley, Dana. I looked at the all-time best-selling memorabilia that was auctioned off from the movies, and five of the items are pieces of women's clothing. I want to know what are the five all-time highest-selling pieces of memorabilia, in this case, all women's clothing from very well-known movies. What are they?
Well, the ruby slippers, obviously.
They are number one, $2 million.
Yeah.
Okay, give you one or two more guesses.
Is there a dress that Marilyn Monroe wore in there?
There is. Which one do you think
maybe
it was?
The one from Some Like It Hot?
No, not that one.
Some Like It Hot. Okay, well. Oh, that's Seven Year Itch.
Yeah, the one from where she's on the subway. Great. Yep.
Right.
Yeah. $4.6 million for that one. Do you want one more guess? I'm looking at the time here. Oh, we have callers. You want one more guess?
No, I'll stop there. Okay.
So just we're looking for the question. Yeah. Of the highest selling items from movies, memorabilia, I was looking for the five highest selling ones that were pieces of women's clothing. Dorothy's ruby slippers from The Wizard of Oz went for $2 million. Marilyn Monroe's right dress that blows up over the subway grate in 7 Year Itch went for $4.6 million. I'm looking for three more.
All right. And let's see here. Nancy is wondering if one of the SNL female hosts is Maya Rudolph.
No, surprisingly. I think Maya Rudolph's at four right now, maybe five, but she has not hit the six.
She's in the five-timers club, isn't she?
She might be. She's out as a special guest a lot. She plays Kamala Harris last year, and I'm sure she will. So they have this special category. But I don't know. She didn't turn up on the list, which was current, being on five or more times. So no.
And again, the numbers to join us, area code 415-841-4134, or toll-free 866-798-8255. All right, let's go to a call.
Hello. Hello?
Hi, you're on. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. Well, I've been on hold so long, I can't remember all the answers. I was wrong about Shakespeare. I thought the most commonly reproduced portrait was the Shakespeare, but I was told since I've been waiting that that's not right. I'm going to guess the place without a 100-degree temperature in the lower 48 is Montpelier.
It is. Oh, that's a very good guess. But no, it's not Montpelier.
Okay. Well, it's a joy to listen to you. What are other questions that are out there? I may have had some guesses, but I forgot the questions.
Well, I mean, Lori has Saturday Night Live question, and let's see.
The most Emmy nominations for comedies and drama.
The one about the Western person, Zorro.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, say it again, sir.
Zorro.
Oh, what a good guess. But no, these are have to be real figures, and Zorro was an imaginary figure.
Oh, I thought there was a Don Diego Vega.
That no, did it, had to be, it had to be five people that actually lived.
Well, you know the reason Earp was in it so much? He came to Hollywood and helped create the image of himself and other Western, shoot 'em ups.
He did indeed, yes.
He created his own image. He was a self-created image in Hollywood. Yeah. So don't believe it. It was self-promotion of an old guy that had been there.
Don't believe the movies? Come on.
Yeah, right. So, all right. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you
hanging on, by the way. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Mindset, right?
Is the most portrayed portrait that of Jesus from 5th century B.C., I'm sorry, 5th century A.D.
It is not.
Catherine Monastery in Egypt. No?
It's not.
Not the possibility. Okay, so that good knowledge for people now. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, let's see. What can I give you here? At what two national parks, two American national parks, do visitors spend the most money? In other words, the highest economic impact on visitor spending. So at what two national parks do visitors spend the most money?
Well, Yosemite hops to mind just because everything's expensive.
Yosemite
there.
Is not one.
Okay.
One's a little surprising, but at least it was to me.
Is it one of those funny ones where there's a national park like in a city, where it turns out to be an urban park?
One of them sort of urban, yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. I don't want to have dead air here. Callers?
No, it's okay.
Yeah.
At what two national parks do visitors spend the most money? It has the highest economic impact in visitor spending.
How about Glacier?
Not Glacier.
My wife used to work there, so... Yeah, that's what came to mind.
All right. And email-wise, Peter is wondering if the state capitol that was over 100 degrees was Wheeling, West Virginia. No, it is not Wheeling, West Virginia. And Deb is wondering, let's see, what does this say? Give me one second. Something to do with you, Lori. Let's see.
What's the question?
They're asking you to put your mic closer to your mouth, Lori.
Oh, okay. How's that?
All right. It's fine. Fine with me before, but I mean, I don't hear what the listeners hear. So,
yeah. Thank you.
Yes. Okay. And Sean is wondering if the Wild West characters, Billy the Kid, Annie Oakley, and Sitting Bull, Billy the Kid is indeed one, not Annie Oakley and not Sitting Bull. But Billy the Kid, very good. Good job on that.
Are any of the Western women?
They are not.
Okay, all guys.
Yeah. Right. So once more, at what two national parks do visitors spend the most money? Okay, and then we're still looking for the some of the five Western figures who have, or five real people who have appeared most in American Westerns. And what is the most reproduced portrait of all time?
On the Western one, how about Daniel Boone?
That's a good guess. No, not Daniel Boone. No.
Wow.
And how about he's kind of a Western figure, and then he's kind of not a Western figure.
No.
And he never got any further than, Tennessee? So I guess that's not really the West.
Well, he killed some bear. My other one. How about Davy Crockett?
Nope. Not the king of the frontier.
All right. All right.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on mic.
Hi, it's Meredith in Sacramento.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Let's see. The gingham dress, is there a twofer on The Wizard of Oz?
There is not a twofer on The Wizard of Oz. There is a twofer for an actress who's on there twice, but she hasn't been mentioned yet.
Okay. Oh my gosh, I'm having the same problem the other guy had, which was I'm trying to remember things. St. Paul wasn't the capital.
I'm sorry, did you say St. Paul? No, it's not
St. Paul. Yeah.
No.
Oh, God, I should have written it down. I have another one.
I'll give you a hint on the state capital. It's west of the Mississippi, and it's an older state capital.
Boise.
No, not Boise.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just keep trying to think of capitals on lakes.
It's not on a lake.
Cooler.
Okay.
I'm forgetting my other one. I have more confidence. Oh, I know. Candace Bergen for SNL?
No, she's just off the list. She's done five, but I'm looking for people who have hosted six times. She's a five time.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
And if you want to give us a quick call, I think we have room. That's 415-841-4134. Or toll free, 866-798-8255. And let's see, so far we have, why don't you go down your questions once more, Lori, just to make sure.
Okay. Emmy nominations for the most nominations for drama and comedy. I'm looking for one more host, male host of Saturday Night Live, and two women who have hosted 10 times or six times. The three items of clothing that have sold for the most money that belonged to, that were worn by women in very well-known movies. The oldest person ever to participate in the Olympics. I'll tell you, it was 1920, and this person's name was Oscar Swan, and he was 72 years old. Those are my hints for that one.
So can you give us a hint on the type of event it was? Is it a team event?
No, it's an individual event. And
it's the Summer Olympics.
It's Summer Olympics in 1920. I would say it was a military-related event, as many events in the Olympics.
Oh, is it shooting?
It is shooting.
Target shooting?
Well, it wasn't target shooting. They had a running deer shooting event in the 1920 Olympics, and Oscar Swan, as a Swedish gentleman, participated at 72 years old. He did not win.
You have two out of the three items that the best selling or the highest selling items for women.
Two out of the five. We need three more.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you have Marilyn Monroe's dress and the ruby slippers.
Correct.
And what are the other? And so there's no other Marilyn Monroe.
There's no other Marilyn Monroe. I'll give you this hint. Two of them are from musicals.
But nothing to do with Marilyn Monroe. Okay. Two of them are from musicals. Huh. Okay.
And two of them were worn by the same women actress in two different movies. One a musical, one not. All well-known. You can picture all of these.
All right.
Great.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Mind. Hi, go ahead, please.
Hello?
Yeah, you're on. Go ahead.
Yes, it's Robert from San Francisco. The most reproduced portrait, Gilbert Stuart's George Washington.
It is not that portrait of George Washington.
Oh, okay.
Is it a different portrait of George Washington?
It is not a portrait of George Washington at all.
How about is it a politician?
Yes, in a sense. Okay. Yeah.
Is it a monarch?
It is not a monarch.
Okay.
But this person. Anything women? Anything else, caller?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Are you still there? No. Okay. Sorry about that. So next call. Hi, you're online.
Yes, I'd like to reply to the most reproduced portrait, Abraham Lincoln on the penny.
It is Abraham Lincoln on the penny. That is the Matthew Brady's profile portrait of Abraham Lincoln, and that is the one they use on the penny. Very good answer. Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Not at all. Thank you.
Thank you. That was an article on the future of the penny in the New York Times. And
which had a great title. The article was "Stop Making Sense." I thought that was one of the most clever.
It cost 3 cents to make a 1 cent penny. So it's a money losing proposition. Yeah. Anyway, yes. So it is Abraham Lincoln is the most reproduced portrait of all time. The one done in, I think, 1861 or by Matthew Brady. So there we go. All right, we'll take one more call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, so this is Nancy in Berkeley, and I just wanted to guess Augusta, Maine for the city that never reached 100.
It is not Augusta, Maine, no.
Well, okay. Great show.
Right.
I've been listening.
Appreciate it.
Hang in there.
All right. I think we better answer everything that's available here. And let me see if I want to take a guess on anything else. So on the Saturday Night Live one, what do you have?
I am looking for one man.
One man.
He's hosted 10 times, and he's incredibly well-known, Oscar winner, movie star, very funny.
Oscar winner, movie
Charming.
Star.
Yeah.
Is he a Best Actor Oscar winner?
He is, and as a hint, you attended the same high school that he did.
Oh, yeah, Tom Hanks. Okay.
It's Tom Hanks. And yeah. Then give yourself a bell.
We were in the same class, not the same high school. Or he was a different class. Oh, actually.
And we're looking for two women who've hosted 6 times, all really well known.
All right. Oh, well. Okay, we'll just go over You go ahead and give your answers.
Yeah, ready for the answers?
Yeah, ready.
Okay. On the shows that were nominated the most times for Emmys, network shows, the two scripted dramas were Hill Street Blues and West Wing, just under 100 each. And the two comedies, I'm surprised you didn't get the first one because you mentioned that Dana Frazier is the most nominated comedy, 107 times. And the second one is Mary Tyler Moore Show, 87 times. The two women hosts that were missing who have hosted 6 times, one is Drew Barrymore, and the other is now married to a cast member, Scarlett Johansson is that one. And then the ones we're missing here are the pieces of clothing that sold for the most money. Audrey Hepburn's dress in My Fair Lady went for $3.7 million. Audrey Hepburn's dress from Breakfast at Tiffany's went for just under $1 million. And the one that is remaining is Julie Andrews' costume, that she the dress she wore when she sang Do Re Mi in The Sound of Music and went around the fountain there, went for $1.3 million. And I believe that's what I have.
All right. Thank you. And let's see. I'll just go down all the answers here. We just got, what is the most reproduced piece of portrait of all time? And that is the Matthew Brady's portrait, one of many Matthew Brady portraits of Lincoln that is on the penny. It's a profile. At what two national parks do visitors spend the most money? Number one is Great Smoky Mountains. That is $2.19 billion.
Whoa.
Great Smoky Mountains in Tennessee and North Carolina. And the second one is the Golden Gate National Recreation Area here in San Francisco, or the San Francisco Bay Area, I should say. And that's $1.51 billion spent last year. But that takes in Alcatraz and the Presidio and everything. So all surrounding area, all the surrounding attractions that are put into the Golden Gate National Recreation Area.
That's interesting.
The five Western figures most often portrayed in Western films that have to be real. Buffalo Bill is number one by far. William Cody, that's 54. Billy the Kid, Jesse James, Custer. Nobody got Custer, General Herb, Colonel Custer, General Custer. And Wyatt Earp. The only state capital in the lower 48, never to have had a 100-degree temperature, is Santa Fe, New Mexico. Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Would have never guessed that.
And the film, well, it's very high. That's why. And the film remakes, the only ones that nobody got. Ronald Coleman and Peter Finch were both in Lost Horizon, the original and the remake of Lost Horizon. And I'm surprised nobody got this. James Stewart and Christopher Reeve were both in Rear Window. The remake, Christopher Reeve, who was in the remake of Rear Window. Remember, he was in a wheelchair in real life. He was in a wheelchair in the remake. So, yes, interesting. Okay, so thanks to Lori Fisher, teacher at Diablo Valley College. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Thanks to Damian Dean Miner for all his help on the board and phones. And above all, thanks to you for out there for taking the time to tune in and going. We hope you have a great week, and we do hope you would join us next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. This has been Minds Over Matter, and thanks, everybody. Take care. Bye-bye.